This is Mrs. Moore reading chapters 25 through 28. Chapter 25. And action, Bongo whispered. Little Flash waddled out to the middle of the lawn. He lay down on his side and curled up. He closed his eyes. He drew back his lips, revealing tiny needle-sharp teeth. Perfect, Bongo said. Try foaming at the mouth, dear, Harry Spiders called. Down the street, we could see Stephen approaching. Luckily, Samar was just a few yards behind him. Flash leapt up. How am I doing, Ma? Wonderfully, my baby, said Harry Spiders. Mommy's so proud of her little bitty opossum. Be dead, Bongo cried. Oh, yeah, Flash shrugged. I kind of forgot, Aunt Bongo. I'm not your aunt, Bongo said. I'm not even a member of your species. Well, that doesn't really matter, I chided. Be dead, Bongo cried again. Flash hiccuped. Oh my, said Harry Spiders. He does that when he's nervous. How come I can't be dead, Mom? Asked Rose Petal. Newbies, quiet, Bongo commanded. Flash, stop hiccuping, dude. Here they come, I whispered. Stephen and Samar. The hiccups got louder. Flashlight, Bongo said, now. Don't call him that, his mother cried. Flashlight froze. He stopped hiccuping. Foam dripped from his mouth. His half-open eyes were glazed and unseeing. The works, Bongo whispered. Brilliant. Stephen found Flash first. Samar was close behind. What should we do? Stephen asked. Success, I thought. They were actually talking to each other. Don't touch it, said Samar. It might be rabid, or it could just be plain dead. I read that opossums will do that. I'll go get my mom. Maybe she can call someone. Sounds good, said Samar. To my disappointment, Stephen and Samar nodded at each other and promptly went into their separate houses. And once again, that was that. All that work for just a few moments of conversation. How exactly did people make friends? How hard could it be? Still, I reminded myself Stephen and Samar had spoken to each other, and that was a good first step, wasn't it? Flash, Bongo called, time to go back to your den, buddy, before they come back. Flash remained frozen in a little opossum ball. Flash, I called. Flash, baby, Harry Spiders yelled. Oh my, said Big U, I don't think your baby's acting. My baby, my precious Flash, cried Harry Spiders, and Flash's brothers and sisters began to wail. You really should have used one of my U's, Big U said. Flash, stop being dead, Bongo yelled. She hopped over to Flash and gently poked him with her beak. How dare you peck my son, Harry Spiders yelled. Flash, I'll save you, baby. Harry Spiders dashed out of her hollow, scrambled down my trunk, and promptly fainted. Oh, great, said Bongo. Just fantastic. Like mother, like son. What now, wise old tree? You grab Flash, I instructed. Fresh baked bread and Big U, can you rescue Harry Spiders? Pull her over to Fresh's den under the porch. Harry Spiders called my children boisterous, Big U said. Big U said my children stink, fresh baked bread said. Over two centuries of life, and I'd hardly ever raised my voice. This was one of those times. Now, I commanded, just as the door to Stephen's house opened. You'd be surprised how fast raccoons and skunks can be when they're motivated. Chapter 26. Stephen and his mother eventually gave up trying to find the mysterious baby opossum. Samar watched them from her living room window, but she didn't venture out. After about an hour, Harry Spiders and Flashlight woke up and returned on wobbly legs to their den. And that was that, again. Don't worry, I told Bongo, third time's a charm. What's that supposed to mean? It's just something people say. Charm? Bongo sneered. Did you know that's what people call a bunch of hummingbirds? No, actually. Hummingbirds, which, let's face it, are pretty much just overdressed flies. But a bunch of us crows together, guess what we get to be called? What? A murder. A murder of crows. Can you believe it? A bunch of trees, you're a grove. A bunch of raccoons, a gaze. Bongo flapped her wings. But crows? We're a murder. Are you quite finished? I asked. Sorry, I'm worried about you and I get grumpy when I'm worried. Bongo plucked out a piece of new grass and tossed it aside. I have one more plan to get Samar and Stephen talking, I said. How about a plan to get you not turned into a picnic table? I can't control everything in life, Bongo, I said gently. And if I could, what fun would that be? But this little thing, this wish of Samar's, I can make it happen. I hesitated. At least I think I can. I don't understand why this matters so much to you. She reminds me of a little girl I knew a long time ago. You're a Budinsky, said Bongo wearily, but I love you anyway. She looked at me with something like the crow version of a smile. Beak open, head cocked, eyes gleaming. So what's plan number three? Chapter 27. Once night had fallen, I sent Bongo on her next mission. All you have to do is untie Samar's wish, I instructed. Oh, she said, is that all? Bongo flew to the low branch where Samar had tied her pink dotted fabric scrap. She yanked on it with her beak several times. Easier said than done, she reported. You're a crow, use a tool. Crows are well known for making and using tools. They're probably the brainiest birds around. Bongo poked and considered. I have a paperclip in my collection. I'll give that a shot. It'll never work, Agnes predicted from her nest. I think owls are secretly a bit jealous of crows. One by one, heads poked out of my hollows, as well as the skunk den under the porch, to watch Bongo at work. What's Bongo doing, Ma? Asked one of the ewes. It's called tool use, said Big U. No big deal. Folks, if you can't say something helpful, I said, please don't say anything at all. Bongo returned with a small piece of twisted metal. Straightened paperclip, she explained, found it on the school playground. With great effort, she managed to slide the straight end of the paperclip into the knot. But try as she might, she couldn't pull the knot free. Almost got it, Bongo muttered between her clenched beak. Why is Bongo doing that? Harold asked Agnes. There's no explaining crows, Agnes said. Because I asked her to, I said. Because it's important to me. With a frustrated groan, Bongo let the paperclip fall to the ground. It's no use, Red, she said. Maybe it's time to give up on this idea, I said with a sigh. I'm not meant to help. I'm meant to sit here. Just sit. A gentle wind rippled my leaves. No one spoke. Wait just a minute, said Big U. Maybe I can lend you a paw. You're awfully heavy for that branch, Agnes pointed out. Let her try, I said. Carefully, Big U inched her way out onto the limb where Samar's wish was tied. She was indeed heavy, and my branch bowed under her weight, but I held firm. She toyed with the knot using both front paws. Before long, she'd pulled the strip free. Ta-da, she cried, clutching the fabric in her right paw. Well, I did the hard part, Bongo sulked. It was a joint effort, I said, teamwork, and much appreciated both of you. You have the wish, said Agnes. Now what, Red? Now we wait until Samar comes to visit, I said, and then Bongo works her magic. Chapter 28. The moon bathed us all in cool blue light as we awaited Samar's nightly visit. She came out in her robe and slippers. Sitting on her blanket, she waited patiently as the baby scrambled over to see her. Around her neck, she was wearing the beribboned key that Bongo had given her. Where's my crow friend? She whispered as the ewe somersaulted in front of her. She looked up into my branches, and I was glad I'd instructed Bongo to hide on Stephen's roof. Right on schedule, Bongo flew to Stephen's bedroom window. She settled on the sill. Samar's fabric scrap dangled in her beak. Carefully, she tapped on Stephen's window. Nothing happened. I'd told Bongo to be as quiet as possible. We didn't want Samar to see what we were up to. Tap, 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 louder this time. Still nothing. Stephen, apparently, was quite a sound sleeper. Bongo looked at me. Her eyes said, now what? She tried again. Tap, tap, tap. Samar started. What was that? She asked. Fortunately, Harold distracted her with an attempt to fly onto her arm. It was more awkward hop than flight, and Samar giggled. Good going, little Harold, I thought. Bongo dropped Samar's wish onto the sill. Tap, tap, tap. Nothing. She paced back and forth in front of the window. Then she froze. Her eyes glinted in the moonlight. Bongo leaned close to the glass and performed her very best fire engine siren. By the time Stephen's window flew open, Bongo was already back on the roof, watching her efforts pay off. Stephen peered out. He rubbed his eyes. He noticed the scrap on the sill. Frowning, he held it up, catching the moonlight in order to read the words written on the fabric. He looked down at the lawn. There was Samar looking up at him, surrounded by an odd collection of baby animals. "You rock," said Bongo.